40 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Navage.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. Damaging storms, including tornadoes, ripped through Oklahoma, Illinois, and Ohio. KOTV TV's Chris Yu says in Norman, Oklahoma, an OU football player's home was damaged.
Some homes were chopped into pieces after Sunday night's tornado.
Sounded like a train.
Imagine, a big train just came in the back of your house.
As for cleaning up the debris, Roberson says he's thankful for his teammates and neighbors.
It means the world to me. You know, I know not everybody has, you know, the much help as we do in the world.
Winter storm warnings are posted in the Northeast. The defense team for Alec Murdaugh is getting ready to wrap up their case. CBS's Nikki Batiste has the latest from South Carolina.
The defense called multiple witnesses, including a crime scene reconstruction expert who cast doubt on the prosecution's case.
My opinion is the totality of the evidence is more suggestive of a two-shooter scenario.
At times during the testimony, Alec Murdaugh wiped away tears. Last week, he took the stand in his own defense, where he denied killing his wife and son.
I would hurt myself before I would hurt one of them.
Closing arguments in the case are expected this week. Nikki Batiste, CBS News, Walterboro, South Carolina.
The judge has granted a defense motion to allow jurors to visit the crime scene. The U.S. Marshals Service is investigating a ransomware attack that has compromised some of its most sensitive information, including law enforcement materials and the personal information of employees and potential targets of federal investigations. An agency spokesperson says the cyber attack discovered on February 17th was considered a major incident. The most consequential legal ruling over abortion rights since Roe v. Wade was overturned that could impact 40 million women nationwide. A federal judge in Texas is set to rule in a lawsuit that seeks to ban mifepristone, one of the two drugs typically used to induce a medical abortion. Julie Marie Blake is senior counsel at the Alliance Defending Freedom.
We're confident that when any court looks at the law and looks at the science, it will realize that the FDA has completely failed its responsibility to protect women and girls.
The FDA says it does not comment on pending litigation, but physicians groups, including the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, say the drug is safe and effective. It can be ordered online with a prescription, even in states where surgical abortions are restricted. It's also used to manage miscarriages.
CBS's Meg Oliver reporting. New Cleveland Clinic research shows that popular artificial sweetener erythritol is associated with an increased risk of heart attack and stroke. Dr. Stanley Hazen.
We saw that it tracked with risk not only amongst people who had existing heart disease, but it also predicted future risk of heart attack, stroke, and death amongst people who had no known heart disease.
Now there's a simple, easy, and effective way to clean your nose and protect your health. It's called Navage. Navage.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
It makes me smile and you have a piano, but if you can play the Peanuts theme song.
Oh,
oh my gosh.
You know he can.
Yes.
On the Devil's Radio.
Sync Radio, Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold, 1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003. 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football. You're about to find out. Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday mornings at 8 on The Shaw and on the Civic Media app.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on, and know we'll get through this. Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
I pick one. We can just play three headlines and a lie.
Fantastic. Who could have thunk that?
Who could have predicted this?
Who would have seen that coming, and why didn't anyone warn them?
Ticked off, tee off. This is it.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Happy rainy Monday. Spring showers? Is that what we're dealing with, Jane Mattner?
Yeah, I was a little surprised by the thunder and lightning about 7 o'clock this morning as I was just about to head out the door.
Yeah, it was a little after, all the snowstorms the last 2 weeks. Having a thunderstorm, not on my bingo card.
Yeah.
Certainly not. But happy Monday. How you doing?
I am doing well. Just one little quick road note. Checking out the 511wi.gov website. Again, it's always a good resource for you to check if you want to see what the roads are like around the state. We do have some accidents scattered primarily around Green Bay, it looks like, because they're getting a different snow ice kind of mess. And then around Nina as well. But otherwise, things don't look too terrible.
Too terrible. Is this all supposed to freeze?
The central part, north of us, it might not be good.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. We have some ice, the potential for some ice skating rinks.
I'm getting to the point. I know everyone's going to say, oh, this winter has been really easy. And it has been really easy. But I just, the snowbanks, I'm done with the snowbanks. I got stuck in my snowbank again this morning.
Did you really, coming out of your driveway?
Well, Mike parked behind me. And so I was trying to not hit his car, which was very thoughtful of me, because I think normally in the morning, I wouldn't have looked and I would have just backed into him. But I was trying to avoid him ever so gently.
Mm-hmm.
And then I stopped looking behind me once I cleared his car and just went a little bit off the driveway, and my California snow tires just plop, stuck me right in the middle of the snowbank, and Michael had to come out in his sweatpants and shovel me out and push me out my way.
In the rain. Oh, I bet he loved that. That's being a good husband.
He is a good husband. Yes. He is a very good husband. Thank you, Michael. All right. Well, today, we have a ton of guests today.
We do.
Coming up in the noon hour, we are talking to Professor John Sheldon about his new book that looks at the evolution of education and when education went from being, especially public education, went from being the public good because it was teaching people about how to be a participant in democracy to the linchpin of economic mobility.
So, and like, you have to go to, either you go to college or you're never going to succeed.
Or you finish high school and you're never going to succeed, right? The shift of its purpose. And so he wrote a whole book on that. So he's going to be joining at noon to talk about that. And then we're going to be talking to Colleen McCarthy, who's the VP of Versiti Organ and Tissue Donations. And you actually found this because we got a PSA announcement.
We did. We got a PSA announcement on just about organ donation and how important it is. And I have done other stories about organ donation, even body donation, which is something that I also would like us to talk about down
like
the road.
You're donating your entire body to science?
You can donate your body to science and who they take and what they do. And it's really, really interesting. But yeah, organ donation is something that I don't think many people think about unless it affects someone in your own life.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Although when you say, and we'll get into it with Colleen, but when you say body donation, all I can think of is Body Works. Remember that wild exhibit?
Yes.
And then they kind of got in trouble because then they started investigating, like, where did all these bodies actually come from, man?
Did they say yes?
Did they say yes?
No, that's not what happens, at least when you donate it to the Medical College of Wisconsin.
I would love to be immortalized in some kind of scientific touring museum thing. Rather than, like, I don't know, either be cremated or buried somewhere. Like, that feels more useful.
Absolutely. And I know there are people who have written letters to the medical students who will be studying on them because that's what they do.
Yeah.
You know, that's called practice.
Anyways, well, that's coming up in the noon hour. But to start off today, you know, ticked off, tee off. That's one of the better names we've come up with so far. I really like the ticked off, tee off. You know, the Party of Freedom. At it again, just really giving you the freedom to do what you want because this is a free country. We have to travel to Tennessee for this story.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, one of them had to be the first. As long as Wisconsin wasn't the first in this arena, which is so long as we have split government, we won't be. But no doubt this bill could come. Something like this could start getting circulated around in Madison, in certain legislative offices. But Tennessee will be the first state to restrict drag shows. And this last week, Tennessee lawmakers passed the nation's first bill restricting public drag performances. It's the first to pass, but there are at least 20 similar bills proposed around the country by Republican politicians. And it basically says, quote, adult cabaret entertainment on public property or anywhere children might see. It puts male or female impersonators. So it doesn't say specifically drag performers. It says male or female impersonators.
Okay.
Into that category, regardless of the content of their performance. So it's not, I think what I understand that to be, it's not burlesque. It's not stripping of any sort. It is any kind of male or female impersonator doing anything. So like...
On public property,
on
though.
On public property.
So we're talking about parks.
We're talking about parades.
Oh, parades.
Or any kind of restaurant where children could potentially be. So basically anywhere that a child could be. So I think this is basically restricting it to 18 and up private
events.
So proponents of the bill says it protects children from sexualized performances. And despite the fact that Tennessee has had obscenity laws in place that ban things like nudity and sexual content in front of minors. And so basically it eliminates all ages drag shows like drag brunches and drag queen story hours. And it severely limits what will be possible at public pride parades. The language of the legislation could also be interpreted to apply to trans people doing any kind of performance, not just drag. So think about that. So someone who is trans, which there's two different things. There's people who are drag performers and they can be drag queens and they have the makeup and the wig and the lip syncing and the performance, right?
Right.
And there are drag kings. There's women who dress up as men and do a performance. There's also trans people who are actors and they are playing a role and then, but their actual body for themselves are trans. And so I think there is worry that this limits trans people
from acting,
from performing potentially. And it's just show me any evidence of how this solves anything. Because I know we're beating a dead horse when we point to the countless child sex scandals in churches.
It's astonishing. There are several a week.
And yet, we don't see any bans there. Kids can't go to church, even though there is so much more evidence that they will be
groomed
and have predatory people they're supposed to trust. And yet, Hamburger Mary's can't be in Tennessee anymore. Really, really getting to the root of the problem.
Well, and again, I would like to see some evidence of trans attacks on children or drag performers' attacks on children.
I know.
I follow the news pretty closely, as do you. I have yet to see one instance.
Because you know if it happened.
Oh, it would be everywhere.
Everywhere.
Absolutely.
It would be everywhere if it actually would have happened anywhere.
Yes.
And it just makes you come back to saying, thank God Tony Evers was elected again. Because there's no reason why this, like, I would have to look up what the other 20 states that are circulating something like this. But that's not it. I mean, this is the same thing we talked about, some of the anti-trans, like, youth stuff that's been going on. But there's at least 340 anti-LGBTQ bills that range from limiting gender-affirming care to mandating which bathroom people can use that has been introduced this year. We're at the end of February.
Yeah.
340 bills. Like, what are we doing?
It's called distraction.
Oh, why did my camera just move?
Don't you think? It's called, again, we need a boogeyman. We need someone to scare people with. So we're going to go after the trans and LGBTQ community and make them the latest other.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's just like, how do people fall for this so easily?
Well, it depends upon what news outlets or alleged news outlets you watch.
Because it, like, I was talking to a friend last night and he asked my opinion on the Roald Dahl thing. Because if the Roald Dahl books, there's the private entity that owns the rights to Roald Dahl's books are making the choice that they're doing, they're updating some of the language. And there is a big debate. I'm like, is this ruining his canon and all this stuff? Because I didn't know about this. Do you know that in the original book, it wasn't Oompa Loompas that were from some magical island. It was African pygmies.
Oh.
And they changed that for the movie. They changed that for the Gene Wilder movie.
In Willy Wonka.
So, like, there's certain things that were updated, but then there's a lot of pushback on, like, oh, you can't call the character, like, they're not going to call the big
fat
anymore and stuff like that. So I was listening to an interesting debate on that, and I had a friend be like, what do you think about this? He's like, I feel like the liberals are making us this into 1984. I was like, I'm sorry. You mean the private company that's choosing to do this? What bills and what laws have Democrats passed that are taking away your rights? And they changed the subject. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, convenient. Oh. Text messaging is convenient in that way. When you can just stop responding. All right. Well,
I have no answer to that, so I'll go away.
So I think he instead quoted Fahrenheit 451. And then I was like, all right, I'm going to watch The Last of Us because it's Sunday night and I'm tired. All right. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues. From the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
My former boss, George Stanley, former editor of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I've told you the story of that. My brother and I are fighting over who's going to get our tickets. I think I have claim because I live here.
Exactly.
Right? He's older, but I live here.
Yeah, but that trumps it.
So. It's been decided now. It's done.
I'll tell my parents. That's even more.
You can let him go to one game if he wants.
Yeah, exactly.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Plenty of people start something great in their 40s and 50s. Getting your retirement savings on track is no different. Go to aceyourretirement.org and in 3 minutes you'll get personalized tips to help boost your retirement savings. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Weather on this snowy day in Milwaukee could be brought to us by your pizza delivery business. Can you imagine how many families are snuggled in their homes enjoying hot, tasty pizza? Weather makes the phone ring for just $199 per week. Call us at 608-819-8255.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows dip down to about 30 overnight. Under overcast skies, winds out of the northwest, 10 to 15 miles an hour. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 42. A mixture of precipitation likely tomorrow night. Lows level off around 33. Cloudy skies expected. A dusting of snow tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM. New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. You are welcome to join the conversation. 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. After this this segment, in the next segment, we're going to talk about who should get the 44,000 hours of January 6th footage. Because we know Tucker Carlson has them.
Yeah.
But now, basically every other outlet who I probably has a better case for why they should have them, has submitted a request that they also get them. So we'll talk a little bit more about that after this segment. But coming back, you said that we had a text.
We did. We were talking about the number of states across the country that are coming out with new laws limiting or banning drag performers, trans performers. Texter from the 920 checking in. So a female performing as Peter Pan,
I know,
is going to be banned. Does that mean Mrs. Doubtfire can't be shown at a theater? What about Shakespeare in Love? What about, there are numerous examples I can think of. What about Bosom Buddies?
I mean, I think
the
about
TV show.
I think about as a kid, I was just telling this story because someone asked me how I got into acting as a kid. And I said, we, in the cul-de-sac neighborhood I grew up on, almost every single house had a kid. And two of the oldest girls of the children on the block were already very into theater. And so they had been part of children's theater in Madison. And so they knew how. So like we had, when I was six, we did a production of Cinderella. But like, it wasn't just in an afternoon, we did it. It was like a 6-week rehearsal schedule.
Wow.
And like there was costumes, like there was a whole thing. And then they went on the next summer, we did Beauty and the Beast. And guess who was the Beast?
Was it you?
It was me. I had some like brown wig and I think it was 4 inches shorter than the girl who played Belle because she was like 5 years older than me.
Oh, that's hilarious.
But I was just shock, big shock. I was really loud.
I bet.
And so they thought I could do the roar and all this stuff. And then the next one, I was the Scarecrow in Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
So like I was a kid, I was a girl playing boy parts.
Can't do that. That's no.
Can't just like let kids be kids. And I think I played Uncle Sam in something when I was in fifth grade and like Santa Claus and something. It's like I was just the charismatic performer kid. And I just wanted the lead.
It's
no matter what gender it was.
I'm sorry, but you are grooming and confusing children, Kristen. And so that's no longer going to be allowed. Another text from the 414, just a thought. If certain clothing, for instance, that which desecrates the flag or some artistic work can't be prohibited based on freedom of speech, how can this proposed Tennessee law be constitutional? Does it not prohibit free expression in the same way?
Well, and that's why I was wondering, this would be a Jim Santel question or one of our legal friends, because there's a part of me that wonders if the ACLU is going to be all over this.
Yeah.
And try to challenge freedom of expression and like if this is actually constitutional, that you can limit if you're not, if it's not nudity and it's not, if you can't, like, how do you, you have to define it as some kind of obscenity, right?
I would assume
so. To limit
it?
See, this is when I have no interest in ever being a lawyer, but I wish I knew the law. You know what I mean? As far as being able to just talk eloquently about this, about what you can and cannot do.
Takes a lot of study. Although, again, I look at some of our representatives in Congress. They managed to get through law school. I would certainly think you and I can get through law school.
That's fair.
Right?
That is fair. Well, unless it's Pat Robertson's. What do you think Pat Robertson's law school was like?
Short. I think the classes were short.
I actually want to look into that more because obviously that was where Dan Kelly went and Jennifer Doro, but she is out of the race now. But now that looking a little bit more into the law school credentials
and curriculum,
yeah. if it follows everything that, you know, the other law schools like Marquette and UW Madison and what they have to do.
No, it might just the law according to Pat.
The law according to the Bible? Like, that's what I'm like. What in this scenario, like, what extra pizzazz do you get by going to like a Christian nationalist law school?
Well, there's a whole chapter on an eye for an eye.
Ah, yes. Retribution.
Exactly.
Love it.
Not turn the other cheek, but an eye for an eye. That's the one they like.
Actually, yeah. Well, I'm not going to have a lot of time to talk about this, but. Breaking news this morning, Mark Lazary.
Yeah.
Selling his shares or his stake in the Bucks to another shockingly very rich person.
Never saw that coming.
Never saw that coming. But Haslam's, I don't know if I'm saying it right. So it's a group, it's a man and a woman, or a man and a wife, who already own Cleveland?
The Browns.
The Browns, mm-hmm. Yes. And then it seems like some MLS minor league. MLS for Major League Soccer. We're already sports owners. So Mark Lazary exiting the Bucks. Don't know what that means for Alex.
Alex, when we just talked to him last week.
We just talked to him last week. I mean, I think I would assume that his job is secure and that, as he said, he will stay in Milwaukee and everything. But it's interesting because, you know, the worst case scenario as these teams get bought and sold to people who are trying to make money, because, you know, the numbers here, I think the valuation of the Bucks now is $3.5 billion.
Yeah, that's quite a jump.
And when Lazary and Edens bought it, it was $550 million.
Yeah, that's quite an improvement in your investment.
Yeah, that's money well spent. And so... But as something becomes more valuable, I think the biggest fear is always, when do they take the Bucks out of Milwaukee? Because they can. It's not like the Packers where they're a nonprofit, where no one will profit by them selling. And that's the only reason why the Green Bay Packers stay in Green Bay, is just because of how the entity is set up. But I don't know. I feel like whenever stuff like this happens, people's spidey senses get up and worried.
Well, can you imagine the outcry if they up after building that stadium?
Yeah, that's true.
That arena, and they up and left? I think people would be annoyed.
That's true. All right, when we come back, who should get the January 6th 44,000 hours? And even more, who has to watch it? This is Ask Us Wisconsin.
WAUK 540 AM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Winter storms bring snow to the east and west coasts after storms bring high wind, even tornadoes, to the central U.S. One person died in Cheyenne, Oklahoma. Eric Langerin lives in Joliet, Illinois, 45 miles southwest of Chicago.
This is obviously our fence and my neighbor's fence. His gazebo is actually in the neighbor's yard. Their trampoline blew through our yard, over the fence, down the street, going down Townsend.
Defense attorneys for disgraced South Carolina attorney Alec Murdoch asked the judge to allow jurors to visit the property where Murdoch's wife and son were killed. Judge Clifton Newman.
The court will arrange a jury view, and the court will go, The lawyers may go.
A U.S. Marshals Service spokesperson calls it a major incident. They're investigating a ransomware attack that has compromised sensitive information, including the personal information of employees and potential targets of federal investigations. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lierley helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
As goes Wisconsin.
Mandela Barnes, future runs. Not yes, not no.
You know, I'm not closing the door, right? Like, taking a loss is not easy. And it's tough, too, when it's such a razor-thin margin. You know, I know some people who just get up right away and decide they want to run again.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not there. But, you know, it's all timing.
Celebrating all things Wisconsin. As goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
Mandela Barnes.
Yeah, the stories that I talked about, the stories I share, my own personal experience was not much different from the experience from a lot of other people across the state. People generally want to be able to, you know, exist together in harmony.
Working hard every day to inform, enlighten, and bring our community together. The Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings 8 to 11 on Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Wait a minute. How about this? Listen to me, you lantern-jawed cretin, you horned-eyed homunculus. You are going to do what's right for the people of Wisconsin. You're putting cancer water in our water, destroying the greatest university system in the country and public education. Knock it off. That is unlikely to be said. That's what I'd say.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
What is dedication?
My biggest fear in the middle of my addiction was that my kids wouldn't have a father. And I started thinking, you know what? This isn't my story. I definitely had to become a better man to be a better father. It's important to me that my kids are empowered and truly believe that if they can think it, they can do it.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Are my babies coming home tomorrow? Ain't that good news? Man, ain't that news? Babies coming home tomorrow. Ain't that news? Man, ain't that news?
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. Who should get the 44,000 hours of January 6th footage? Should anyone get it, I think, is the question. And so 844-967-2789, that is 844-96-PARTY. Because we didn't talk about this last week, despite it being fairly big news, that House Speaker Kevin McCarthy basically gave 44,000 hours of surveillance footage exclusively to Tucker Carlson.
In the interest of transparency.
In the interest of transparency.
Yes.
And Tucker told his viewers last Monday that his team would spend the week reviewing the footage before releasing its findings. And a reminder that Fox identifies Carlson as an opinion show. Not a news show.
Not news. No.
Opinion.
Not news.
We're talking about practice? That's exactly where my mind just went. And Carlson has repeatedly questioned the significance of the attack and the conclusions that says it was, a bad thing.
And just a reminder that we also just found out within the last couple of weeks that Tucker Carlson and Laura Ingraham and Sean Hannity and even some of the management at Fox News knew that it was a lie that the 2020 election was stolen, but they wanted to respect their audience and give them what they wanted so they wouldn't lose ratings.
Yep. Actually, just listening to the Daily this morning, and it's, this could be the one time that in what is usually so hard to accomplish, which is to sue a media company, because they have to show malice. And, you know, Fox's response to Dominion sharing some of the text messages and that show that Laura Ingraham, Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, producers,
even Rupi,
even Murdoch, knowing the truth and yet moving forward because they were losing viewers to OAN and other ultra right wing outlets, that there's a chance. But that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is that it was a weird choice. It was a weird choice to be like, yeah, like I'm going to give this exclusively to Tucker Carlson, an opinion right wing show host, not, you know, the New York Times or the AP or the Washington Post or any of the like still credentialed
news outlets,
not opinion outlets, news outlets. I mean, they didn't even give it to the news division of Fox.
There's a news division at Fox?
There is.
Is that a joke?
No, that's where Wallace worked for so long. And he was good. Chris Wallace was great. But then even he was like, I got to get out of here, man. Like, I don't know who's left, who's great. But anyways, so.
Just one side note while we're talking about that. Howard Kurtz, who was on the Fox Business Channel, I believe.
Okay.
Yesterday, even said on his program that he believes he should be reporting on the Dominion lawsuit because it's a big story, but management won't let him.
Wait, he said that on air?
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yep, I would like to cover it. I think it's worth covering, but
I'm not allowed.
But I'm not allowed to because, you know, we're involved. We're being sued by this company.
Which, I mean, then how can you actually trust his reporting on it as well? So I understand that there's a little bit of a conflict of interest there. But as a reporter, I can understand him being like, ah!
Dudes, this is a story.
So just quickly, Brian Stile.
Our
Brian Stile, Brian Stile, defended the move. And he claimed that the move was made in an effort to be transparent. And this was his quote. I support Speaker McCarthy's decision to increase transparency for the American people. And he is the leader of the House Administration Committee, which oversees Capitol security. So this is why his quote matters. He said, this majority is focused on accountability, transparency, and restoring the people's trust.
I'm sorry.
And he accused the January 6th committee of selectively leaking footage and noted that former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's daughter, Alexandra Pelosi, filmed footage for a documentary that she was filming that included video of lawmakers' hideaways as supporters of former President Donald Trump stormed the Capitol. So, in that effort of him saying we are trying to restore the people's trust and have transparency, hopefully that means Brian Stile will also be in favor of the other news outlets that are saying, what about us?
I have a feeling just Spidey's senses are tingling that Brian Stile will not agree with releasing all of that same footage to actual news outlets.
I guess we'll see. Someone should ask him.
Yeah.
But over the weekend, or I guess this was on Friday, scores of news organizations on Friday demanded congressional leaders release all of the surveillance footage from the January 6th to them as well. So this was a letter sent on the behalf of CBS News, Washington Post, CNN, Politico, ProPublica, ABC, Axios, Advance, Scripps, The Los Angeles Times, Gannett.
Wow.
all saying that this footage should be available to them as well. And so this was a quote from that. Without full public access to the complete historical record, there is concern that an ideologically based narrative of an already polarizing event will take hold in the public consciousness. You don't say. With destabilizing risks to the legitimacy of Congress, the Capitol Police, and the various federal investigations and prosecutions of January 6 crimes, the letter stated. I would have to agree with them.
I think it's tough to argue against it.
Yes. And so the Associated Press and New York Times sent a separate letter to McCarthy specifically seeking access to the material. And McCarthy has just been zipped. He hasn't. He's been silent about the footage. He hasn't spoken publicly or responded to questions about the release. And even in the articles I was reading this morning about Friday's letter, has not responded to comment. And so I guess this opens up. Instead of, I feel like it feels obvious that if Tucker gets it, everyone else should get it too. So I guess that's question number one, is should everyone else get it? But also, should anyone get it? Because at least on its face, what Democrats are arguing as to why their argument against the initial handing over all of this footage to Tucker was that it's a security threat.
Of course.
And saying that, you know, when the January 6th committee chose what they would air, they had worked really closely with the Capitol Police to choose what footage got shown, because there's worry about sensitive information like the pathways lawmakers took to get to their secure locations, where Capitol Police have cameras throughout all of the property.
Right. Wouldn't that kind of information really help people if they wanted to do another coup?
Yes.
Oh.
I guess they could just move all of them, because that doesn't seem like a small task. And so I guess the question number one is, in the name of transparency and public trust, should this footage be released at all? And I guess then if yes, shouldn't it be released to all news outlets? Do you have a strong feeling on this?
I do. Well, it's already out there. You know, the Pandora's box has been opened. Mm-hmm. They gave it to Tucker. Now it has to go to everyone. I think there are security issues, and I think that that's going to be an ongoing problem. I do look forward to seeing all of Tucker's footage about people just standing around during a normal tourist visit, holding hands and singing Kumbaya, because I know that happened a lot that day. And again, never forget that this is the network when Bill O'Reilly was still there and their number one star, Bill O'Reilly, during the Act 10 protests in Madison, aired footage allegedly from Madison in February that had palm trees in the background. So I know who I trust. I know which network I can go to when I need the absolute unadulterated truth, Kristen Bright.
It's funny to think about what, first of all, 44,000 hours of footage.
That's a job.
What intern has to go sit and watch that? Remember when we talked about, I think it was Mandela Barnes tweets and someone have like whose job it was to go through all like 44,000 of them for like the last decade or whatever it was. And just because it reminds me of the people whose job it is at social media platforms to be the like the human content moderators who are watching like obscene,
violent,
awful footage that people upload willingly.
Yes.
And I'm sure some of it is boring, but also, I don't know. I mean, it also opens the question of like, is there stuff that's actually, because I'm sure there's a lot of stuff that's boring, right? Certainly the things that have been shown throughout the January 6th committee hearings were chosen to demonstrate what the day was like, but also to elicit emotion.
Of course.
Right? And so I'm sure thousands of the hours are actually quite boring and people just waiting, standing until everything kind of erupted. But also, I wonder if there's stuff that's worse.
Some of it, at least what the January 6th committee released, was so violent and so disturbing that much like those content moderators that you mentioned, it's, these people are going to need psychological counseling after going through all of that footage. It's hard to watch, I think. It's hard to watch Americans doing this to other Americans.
And so I don't know. Like I think I'm with you as far as what's out there.
You gotta give it away now.
And so now it has to go to more credible sources or unbiased sources or bias. I mean, at this point, or bias, right? Because you've chosen something that is you like objectively biased as far as we all know the side that it's coming from. There's an argument as far as the role it plays, fine, that it's right to exist and having a different point of view and like that is a different question, but it is objectively biased as far as especially their opinion programming. If you want to try to argue that their news programming is not, fine, but certainly their opinion programming, which is what Tucker Carlson is.
Yes. He is not a newsman.
And so this is like the equivalent of handing it over to The Daily Show and letting The Daily Show do their editing master, like their math. Like the people who are the editors at Daily Show and the way that they find stuff and cut stuff together into a montage to prove a point. I wonder what they would do with this footage.
And last week tonight, too, with John Oliver.
What is there anything in there that could be funny?
That is an interesting question.
Like, is there anything that one of the comedy shows, if they also got access, I did not see Comedy Central's name on the list of people who signed off on the letter to try to get all of this information and all this footage. But, you know, without Jordan Klepper there interviewing people, is there anything there that could have been, used for a comedy bit?
Oh, I don't know. I think Josh Hawley running away could be clipped.
That's true.
Into something.
People have already done that, though.
I know, but there's potential there. There's more potential there.
Speaking of which, this is totally random. There's a video going around right now of Ted Cruz trying to sing Amazing Grace, and it's basically to the tune of Gilligan's Island.
What?
I feel like I have to send it to you so we can air it. But it is so weird, and it's like the clip is basically like him like proving that he knows the lyrics to Amazing Grace. He goes, I can't even replicate it, but it reminded me of just like when some of these guys are just so weird.
And Ted Cruz went to Harvard.
Also went to Harvard. Yep. And did he go to Yale Law School?
I believe so, yes.
Harvard undergrad, Yale Law School?
Yep.
See?
We could pass.
All right. When we come back, they're speeding up baseball. Good thing or bad thing? This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Man, ain't that news. My baby's coming home tomorrow. Ain't that good news? Man, ain't that news? Good news. Good news.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Catch Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow at its brand new time, 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays.
The city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. I hear a lot of you saying the same thing I had in my head. I don't know about that.
As long as they're not just crop dusting everyone.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Crout.
My Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
But early detection allowed us to take control of the situation together.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Weather on this snowy, snowy day could be brought to us by your business. Can you imagine how many ice augers and fishing shanties are being bought as we speak? Weather sponsorships make the phone ring. Call us at 608-819-8255.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows dip down to about 30 overnight. Under overcast skies, winds out of the northwest, 10 to 15 miles an hour. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 42. A mixture of precipitation likely tomorrow night. Lows level off around 33. Cloudy skies expected. A dusting of snow tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Madnair. So I like going to a baseball game.
Yeah.
I don't really watch baseball at home. I don't like sit and watch a baseball game. And part of it is because there's not a lot of action.
There's a lot of downtime.
And, you know, for a while, in all the professional sports, like, you kind of hear about this, like, there's a little tweaking here or there as far as, I feel like every year the NFL always has new
does
rules.
Something.
But the league, the Major League Baseball, is trying to speed up its games, and it could be working. So, in a training game over the weekend, the Atlanta Braves and Boston Red Sox ended in a 6-6 tie after Braves player Cal Conley struck out for not getting set in the batter's box in time.
What?
So he struck out not because there was three strikes, but because he didn't get into the batter box in time.
So it's all the dinking around with fixing your gloves and tweaking this and gripping up on the club and doing all that stuff before you step into the batter's box. And
yeah.
Okay.
So in time is not a phrase you often hear associated with baseball, but that is largely all of the kind of tweaks that they're trying to make to the game as the league enters its Sonic the Hedgehog era. And, you know, it's getting, I think there's concerns that it's getting disrupted by faster paced sports, which arguably, besides like golf, most other sports, I would say, are. I mean, I'm sure there's some baseball enthusiasts who would say, are going to be very upset about this.
No doubt.
But it is slow. And it also can last forever.
4.5 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
6 hours.
And so MLB is disrupting itself by introducing new rules this year to speed up the game and generate more offense. So some of the rules include a pitch clock, so pitchers and hitters can't loaf around in between pitches. I like the term loaf around. They can't dilly-dally.
Oh, dilly-dally is even better.
The elimination of extreme defensive shifts to encourage more offense. See, I don't know enough about baseball to even know what that means. Do you know what that means?
You're asking me?
I know. No. Well, there's no one else here.
I could make something up, but it would be wrong.
Bigger bases to boost the number of stolen bases.
Oh, there are baseball fans who are going to scream about
this. I know. I wonder how much bigger we're talking. Are we talking like an inch or are we talking like cartoon sized?
Well, if you're going to do it right. You may as well make them gigundo.
Yeah.
But now you're tweaking with the purity of the game.
You're also tweaking with the skill of the players, right? You're making it easier, which I guess is the point. But they're also limiting the number of mound disengagements, like pickoff throws. Again, I don't know enough about baseball to even know what that is. But, yeah. And so, those don't feel like small changes.
No, they don't.
Especially to strike out because you took too long.
Well, but see, that I think would be the biggest motivator. It's like, again, you fixed your gloves 3 times already. That should be enough. Get in there and swing at the ball.
It's kind of like during the championship, the Bucks championship in 2021, where they were counting because Giannis took so long to shoot his free throws. And so they'd count to 10. And now he's a little bit faster, but he really took his time before, and he still wasn't very good that year.
He does a lot of other things well.
He does. But So yeah, so it's going to take some getting used to. I think for a lot of people, I'm sure there's going to be people who are very upset.
And players too, because, and we've talked about this before, at least as far as I am aware, baseball players are among the most superstitious and have their, and have their rituals that they do.
Yeah, but I guess, you know, the big picture is that for fans who love baseball but can't justify spending 3 hours watching it, especially when there's like 180 games a season, these could be welcome changes. This one of the games over the weekend, the Padres versus the Mariners game on Friday, took only 2 hours and 29 minutes.
Wow.
To complete.
That's quick.
About 40 minutes shorter than last year's regular season average per ESPN. So,
and is this, they're hoping to get to attract more young people because they have the attention span of a flea? Is that what this is all about?
I mean, I think it's, yes. I think it's just in general trying to stay relevant. I mean, I certainly think it, you can't deny the fact that while baseball might be America's pastime, it's certainly not its present compared to the NFL. And even, I don't know what viewership and rate, like the ratings for the World Series is compared to the NBA Finals. And so I would have to look up what the actual ratings are, because I think we know that it's dominant for the NFL. But when it comes to the hierarchy between NHL, NBA, and MLB, like where do the ratings fall, especially for big games?
We have a call at 844-967-2789. Ben from Oshkosh, checking in on As Goes Wisconsin. What do you want to say, Ben?
Hey, guys. I was watching the Brewers Cactus League the other day, and from my understanding, the back of the bases is in the same position. And with the bigger bases, that actually shrinks the infield. And then, you know, the faster pacing, which I think is just a way to get more advertising.
Hmm.
I doubt it's something that the players union asked for.
Did you notice a game? Like, was it noticeable when you were watching? Like, could you feel the game clipping along at a faster pace?
They have a giant countdown clock, like right behind the batter, and it feels rushed. It feels like they're taking the romance away from the game. And I really hope they don't use these new rules for the Field of Dreams game that they have in the fall.
Oh, that's a really good point. That's a really good point. Thanks for the call, Ben. That's what I mean. I feel like for people who are baseball
purists, yes,
this is going to be a struggle to adjust to. But that's also the same thing. It's not as violent. But, you know, I hear all the time people talk about the difference of the NFL in the 80s and how much more like gladiators it was then versus what it is now. I'm like, well, is that such a bad thing?
It's not a bad thing.
It's still pretty violent.
Yes.
People still, like, someone almost died this year.
They still get way hurt.
All right. Well, that will do it for our first hour. When we come back, Professor John Shelton will be here to talk about his new book. And then after that, we'll talk about organ donors. You should do it. And is there more to it than just signing up at the DMV? That was, like, my first question, because I actually don't know if there's another step besides, like, yes, I will do this. Yes, I have to wear glasses. All right. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Stay tuned. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play today. Look at me. Yeah. I can be. So put me in, coach. I'm ready to play today. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play today. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. You. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Ty Christian from Lords of the Trident. Can you say Max Inc. Radio rocks? Jimmy K is awesome in Japanese?
Sure. Let's see. How do I say rocks? Let me see. Sugoi! Max Inc. Radio wa sugoi datta omoimasu. I just said you're great, you know.
Thank you. You're great, too. Original local music from Wisconsin. It's Max Inc. Radio on Civic Media, Saturday night, 6 p.m. to midnight. We are local music.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more, weekday mornings from 6 to 8, all across the station.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.